Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
In the forming room, the blended chicken meat is portioned into four shapes: the ball, the bell, the boot, and the bow tie.
The bow tie?
Yeah. Those are the names of the four shapes of McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Hmm.
The ball, the bell, the boot, the bow tie.
I think that was one of my first, like, very formative experiences of, like, pattern recognition. Was, like, you know, being very young and thinking, like, man, there are, like, only, like, four of these. And it's very weird how regular they are. So they pop it in a blender, they pour it in a mold, and then they just kind of go for it.
No, I think they press it into a sheet.
Oh, they extrude it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's into a sheet, which, you know, I mean, if you could eat that, you know, the brick right out of the sheeter,
you would die.
They're basically chicken cutout cookies.
I just slap a little bit of sour cream on there with the MSG sprinkles.
And that's how we die.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
See that? See that traffic sign up in Boston?
No.
Was it "Use Ya Blinka"?
That's what it said.
Yeah, it's a "Use Ya Blinka."
Was it a sign or was it a person yelling it?
It's spelled out. I don't know how much more clearly I can say it, Chris. "Use Ya Blinka."
Okay.
"Use Ya Blinka."
Huh.
Use. And then YAH, and then BLINKAH. Use Ya Blinka.
It sounded like you were doing a cheer.
Give me a B. Yeah, no. Just use Ya Blinka.
Nice job.
Hmm.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. Hey, Chris, what episode is it?
No clue.
138.
130. I stopped downloading these things.
Oh, cool. Good, you and everybody else.
Well, I don't listen to them, so it seems like it doesn't make sense to, you know.
Save that bandwidth for the poor needy kids.
There you go.
Yeah.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
Nope. No, you may not. But, 138 of what?
Of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Your name is?
Chris.
My name is Cole. We're here to entertain your asses. Want to relax. Feel like we're on guard when we're doing this. I think that it's a much better when it's a free form flow of ideas, you know?
Sure.
When I'm not worried about you getting scores on, you get scoring points off of me, you know? Just, you know, move it, doing it, you know? Like a sex machine, man.
Speaking of sex.
Oh, cool. I said the magic word.
Let's just say that you had a friend who had a dream. And in the dream, this person goes to the adult store and purchases, some sort of tube-shaped thing that would be like lady parts, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like such as a flashlight or something like that.
Yeah, such as the trademarked item fleshlight.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then let's say that you use the thing in your dream, and it's great.
Okay.
Like, you're telling friends about it. It's like, hey, this is incredible. You know, you go into the Barnes & Noble, and instead of selling some sort of, like, unbranded energy drink, you're just telling people about how awesome this is.
Wait, I don't understand the unbranded energy drink reference.
Oh, and people do that. You know, the cult clubs, the Amway and stuff.
Oh, yeah, Amway. So,
and they
try to
recruit people.
Like,
you know?
Vita Chamber or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're using the thing. It's awesome. You're telling people about it. And you find out in your dream again that when your mom was younger and she needed money, she had allowed her lady parts to be molded. And sold.
Chris, you're describing like the plot of a Chuck Palahniuk book.
And then you find out that you've been using your mom as a masturbatory aid.
Well, that's devastating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that something that this person may have seen before and then dreamt? Or is this a new thing?
I've read stories, like, you know, you occasionally see those memes, right? You see memes that are, you know, confession person memes, or like, this is a terrible dude or terrible lady memes. And they'll say, like, oh, you know, went to a sex toy party, got a cast of my genitals made, came home later, found my sibling using it as a masturbatory aid.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so like that is a trope that I've been aware of before. I don't want to begin to unpack what that represents here in public in front of a couple hundred people, but I think that I don't know. The question is, Chris, does it upset you?
Oh, no. I mean it doesn't upset me that my friend had that dream.
Yeah, well no, I mean it's pretty
You know, do I care what my friend dreams?
Yeah. It seems like your friend is imposing this on you.
Right?
Yeah. Doesn't seem very kind or generous of him to foist that upon you.
Right. Oh, well. Just wondered.
No, that's pretty upsetting. I do like the idea of you being of your friend being a sex toy evangelist, though. Like, because, you know, you get somebody who gets real into juicing for a little while. Like juicing their pecs, you know, shredding their lats, and then that's all they can talk about. Like you just can clock how quickly, how many sentences, how many exchanges, how many back and forths will lead to this particular new fixation on their part, and then you just follow that. So I don't know how I would feel if somebody in my life was like, dude, this vagina flashlight, you totally have to get on it, dude. See, my dream would be that I would use it, and then you're just kind of like, oh, let's get it. And then Rent runs out of batteries, and like, oh, you know, why are you leaving me, et cetera, et cetera. And then it comes back, and I find out it's pregnant, and it gives birth to a bunch of G.I. Joes. That have my face.
G.I. Joes that have your face.
Yep. Oh, no, I'm not ready for this. Well, then again, you never are.
I've been watching a lot of these shows where they go fishing for things, whether it's lobster or, you know, real badass ocean motorcycle fishermen.
Have you seen like American Swords or whatever?
No.
It's basically Deadliest Catch, but with swordfish.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Well, I've been watching these shows and I don't know the titles of them, but just once when they haul the net in and this big bulbous net's hanging from the crane on the boat, and I want to see them pull the bottom, you know, and have all the fish fall out. Except for, like, in the middle of the all the ball of fish is, like, this sea creature that's kind of, like, man-like, sea man. Mm-hmm. And he, like, lands on the deck on his feet and just thrashes the whole crew.
Like some kind of Lovecraft.
I guess.
Wait a second. So you're saying it thrashes everybody but one lone crewman, like, from the documentary crew, so that he comes back and lives to tell the tale?
Yeah, well, he slashes his throat and messes up his vocal cords.
So he can't actually say it, but he lets the tape speak.
Just so it sounds more scary when he tells the story.
Oh, okay. Automatically makes him sound
kind
like,
of a creepy voice.
Like 40% more grizzled.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like he's just been on the boat for like one season. Maybe he's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe the seawater hasn't rotted his guts yet.
Yeah, yeah. Hasn't made him into a horrible, like, wind blasted human being.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, you know, he hasn't spent 30 years, you know, doing setups at night.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, maybe doing some shadow boxing for like the 3 months that he's home to, you know, get all the strikes in on his wife or something, you know?
Jesus. Yeah.
No, like, I mean, really doing some prison training.
Like, life at sea is really tough. You know, you're down there. Like, it's physically demanding, but you still have to keep up. You know, you don't want to be swept off by a rogue wave. Maybe you're doing some burpees in your galley, right? You know, you're trying to keep fit. You're thinking about what you're going to do when you get back. You're wondering if, you know, somebody brought some hooch on board.
you're really focused on the, like the bullies from high school.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like, you know, I'm going to go out to see, I'm going to get hard, and I'm going to come back and give them a hard time.
Exactly.
Because now it's for me.
I'm going to come back.
This is my day. This is my time.
I'm going to come back at those guys, and I'm going to be so hard.
Yeah.
Right?
No, they're not going to know what to do with me.
Oh, no. They're going to call a scientist. That's what they're going to do.
Just like a friend, never, when they keep around.
Never seen it so hard.
Yeah. No, it's like a man so hard. It's just, it's unacceptable. I don't know. But then again, the horrors of the sea, you know, we're not prepared for that. So are you imagining like a fleshy tentacle type creature or some crustacean?
Maybe like we had a toy, I guess. So when I was a kid and you were a kid, and I think it was like a little lizard man.
Oh, yeah. It was
filled
He-Man.
Him with water. Yeah. And you filled him with water.
You pressed the button on the back and his neck would extend and he would squirt.
No, you're confusing two separate toys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I know.
Yeah, you pressed down on his head, and he essentially had a hairspray mechanism inside his face.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Got filled with black mold, made me real sick that one time.
Right.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been doing lizard stands.
Lizard stands?
Yep.
Like, is that where you, like, do a handstand and then somebody sprays it up your nose? Or
exactly.
Okay, cool. Good.
I'm glad we're tracking.
I did so many of those.
Right.
So many different variations on that. I wanted to make sure that I had the right move set down. Because that would be embarrassing.
You always wanted us to watch. Look. Doing the same thing.
Cole, it's gonna hurt you. Like,
it's
like
really annoying.
Like this never ends well for you.
I don't care if it hurts you.
Yeah. Nobody ever did.
Nope.
I don't know.
Yeah, you never got hurt.
Yeah. Nope. Never once in my life. Never broken a bone.
Despite all my trying.
Neither of you have you.
Fractures.
Oh yeah, you fractured your middle finger, and it got that hilarious X-ray.
My pelvis.
Oh, you fractured your pelvis?
Yep.
When did you fracture your pelvis?
I got in a car accident.
Which one?
I was dirt track racing.
I have no recollection of this.
Oh yeah, you don't remember? You don't remember when I was dirt track racing?
No.
Huh.
Well, how old were you?
You knew about that. I was like 45.
Oh right. No, you find your second, like you wander through life unsure of what you wanted to be until like one day you were out on a client, you know, like on a client visit.
Was on a client.
Yeah. Okay. You were fucking a client's wife and you heard a sound off in the distance and you ran through the brushy woods until you saw a track, and then it spoke to you. It was an epiphany. The sky opened up and you felt the very heartbeat of creation. I remember that. It was in your book, Revenant. Revenant with Ross.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, seriously. You didn't. I don't know. I have large blank tracks in my recollection of time and space. You never actually fractured your pelvis, did you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Cool.
The dirt track racing's real.
Yeah, I still have no recollection of that. But
I was on the motocross tour.
Yeah, you're out there.
It was a bull rider.
You were on tour with Blink 182 and NXS.
Slash fighter.
Yeah. A bull rider fighter. No, it was bull jousting.
Went to a lot of redneck bars.
Yeah. No. You went to a lot of redneck bars.
That's how I became a bull rider fighter.
Yeah. No, okay. So you were at a lot of redneck bars. You had very thick glasses, just dressed up like a stereotypical nerd, and you're in there like learning, and they're like, we don't take kindly to your, and then you whip out your kung fu, you pull his western shirt with piping over his head like it's a hockey jersey, and you just start giving him the business.
They gave me a nickname, called me Bookend. Don't know why.
Oh, well, you know you've made it when the nickname precedes you, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Huh. Hey, Chris, do you have a story?
Bookend Chris. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe.
There's this place called Newfoundland. The people there are breathing a sigh of relief. It looks like the carcass of a blue whale that washed up on the shores of Trout River might not explode after all.
Hmm.
gases made the 81-foot-long whale swell. But it seems that the whale was almost to burst, and then now it's deflating. Now the town just needs to get rid of the 60-ton carcass.
I just bring in some Japanese. They don't know what to do.
Well, it's rotting. I mean, it's...
Yeah, well, I mean, still.
What do you do with that? An 81-foot-long, 60-ton...
Let it stink up the town, honestly.
They're sending a 10-person team to cut away skin, blubber, and muscles, which will be dumped, and then take apart the skeleton, which will be transported on an 18-wheeler to a museum.
Yeah. Not to get all, like, science on this, but, like... A dead whale carcass, you know, like whales die all the time, every day. It's a tragedy. But a dead whale carcass that fall, like as it falls to the ocean floor, it immediately becomes an ecosystem. So like the reason that they're not like just whale carcasses littering the floor of the ocean is that they're like, there's a whole class of like shellfish and plankton and algae and all kinds of like little fish that exist like entirely to dispose of these corpses. It's actually pretty cool and inspiring.
Have you seen this goblin shark?
I saw a headline for a story that involved the goblin shark, and I considered looking at it. However, I knew that the joke that I would bring up on this would just be, it's a goblin. Like, just that it would have a funny name. That's the extent of like what I could make of that.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not trying to make an issue of it.
Yeah. No, it looks pretty gross.
No, it's terrible, terrible creature.
Yeah.
Does bad things to my belly when I look at it.
Makes me upset. Again, just be afraid of everything under the water. It is the closest thing that we have to an alien world on this planet.
I don't know. I just pictured in this country if there was a whale that was going to wash up. And I like the CNN, just like 24-hour news coverage, just like, when will the whale blow?
TikTok. Whale watch 2014.
Whale watch.
Whale cam. I just picture making it be, it's like the pitch drop where you have all the like you've got the cameras that are pointed at the pitch, just waiting for waiting for it to drop, you know, to separate. It's like webcams. The world watches, waiting for it to finally. Do you think it's a violent explosion? I know that they do explode because of the decomposition and whatnot. But like, what's the blast radius on that?
Probably like 10 feet. maybe it's just like a really high, almost silent fart, and then just like a little squirt
out the blowhole.
No, that would be logical. Like, I'm talking about, like, maybe the nose. Maybe the anus. maybe a new hole. Oh, it only appears when they rot.
Oh, it's the secret. It's the secret whale hole.
It's the secret whale hole.
Yeah.
Turns out every species has a secret hole.
That only appears when they die?
No.
Oh, it's exactly. It's the hole that the soul comes out of.
Yeah, right?
It's the soul hole.
Right. You got to pay the troll toll.
Oh man, so I took a cheap shot at the Japanese in that, and I try to be culturally enlightened and let people do their thing, but they really do hate everything in the ocean. However, there's also probably a case to be made, at least given this story taken out of context, that the Japanese hate babies.
Really?
So, what's happening is, in Hiroshima, there is an annual festival to try and scare off spirits. Okay?
Hi.
And they... let's rack them up. Let's offend everybody. And the Japanese belief is that spirits are frightened off by crying babies. So this has been taken and, you know, messed around with a little bit and kind of de-religiousized. But still, there's a gathering of over 800 babies in Hiroshima every year. And there's a spooky, like, Shinto shaman guy who... So they have these two babies set up on, like, a dais, like a raised platform. And this spooky shaman guy is wearing, like, a mask, and he has this, what appears to be, like an auction paddle that has, like, faces drawn on it. And he gets up, and he just screams at these babies' faces. And, like... Like all the families are like they've got their chins up on the edge of the platform, and they're, you know, rooting their baby on, and these babies don't know what the fuck.
What's a dais?
You know, it's like a platform from which a presentation would be given.
How do you spell that?
D-A-I-S.
D-A-I-S?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah. It is a raised platform located either inside or outside of a room or enclosure, often for dignified occupancy.
Gotcha.
Sorry, I'm so sorry that I know words. People give me shit for saying words.
Oh, I guess, yeah, the Olympic medal platform could be a dais.
Yeah. Literally anything could be a dais if you think hard enough.
Huh.
Yeah.
Could you put a picture of one on a t-shirt and say, I'm a dais?
That, you know, that shouldn't have gotten me as much as it did. Rock me, I'm a dais.
Yeah.
With just like a hair metal guy with a kicking rad cod piece, like, you know, like one leg up on the monitor, just wailing. Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, it is the new crying game. cute little outfits on these guys though.
Hmm.
I just like what gets me is just the bewilderment on their faces. I watched a video of it, and like thankfully, so
in doing I think you're wrong for watching a video of people scream at babies.
Oh, it's just, yeah, it's, you know, I don't feel good. Okay, you know what? I do feel kind of good about it just because it's interesting. First off, this video is just on a news website, and there's no like pun ladle. Like, leave the puns to us. Like, you write the story and we'll add the puns for you later on. That's fine. But like, it was just a video of this thing, and I could imagine it just like being it looked like a scene out of like Baraka or something. Let's just like just some kind of experimental, no dialogue. It's like there was no voiceover, no narration, just a dude in a mask yelling at a baby, and the baby not all being like not knowing what the fuck.
Sure, it wasn't like performance art.
The accompanying like little blurb says that it's a thing, and I'm sure that I could do some research. But yeah, I just for a moment I inhabited the position and the mindset of a Japanese infant just looking around. At a sea of faces, the closest of which I know, most of them I don't, and this one scary man just not knowing like what I'm supposed to do. They're not crying out of fear; they're crying out of being overwhelmed. And you know, I would be lying if I said that I didn't empathize with that.
Wow, I found a new site to like check every day.
Okay,
it's called DudeIWantThat.com.
Okay,
check it out.
DudeIWantThat.com.
Dude,
so just while I was giving my exegesis here, you were looking at new deal sites.
I played solitaire for the first part,
but then you got bored of that, huh?
Right.
That Aerosmart air conditioner looks kind of neat, actually.
Sure.
Yeah. No. I picked up. So there's a website called The Sweet Home, which is pretty cool.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah. It's a companion to the wire cutter. And it's just like, what is the best thing? So as we mentioned at the top here, it is incredibly hot here in Cincinnati already. Like, I am sweating my balls off right now talking. So like, I want a fan that will push a lot of air while being very quiet for the studio so that, you know, there's a chance that I could leave it on the lowest setting while I'm recording and not just like straight up die. Right. And so I went there. It's like, what's the newest, like, what's the best fan? And it pointed me to what the best fan is. It is a dangerous website. See, and you shouldn't have gotten us into websites if you weren't ready to engage in a conversation about it.
No, I'm still looking. No, it's good. It's good. Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good.
It's okay,
good.
Cool. It's the best stuff.
There, I think we're finally getting it as a nation. I think we're putting it together. We've long since stopped screaming at babies. We've moved on. And I think that Los Angeles is finally getting their shit together. Los Angeles County supervisors are going to require ice cream truck vendors to undergo background checks before they can drive around selling ice cream to kids.
Oh, good.
What a great idea. Finally some sense.
Finally a thing that really ought to have happened a really, really long time ago.
And then there's somebody who's fighting it.
Who? The ACLU?
No, just a person. Just a bad person. quoted as saying, why stop with ice cream trucks? What about people who live near a school or a park or anyone who can ever potentially come in contact with a person under 18? Should we not have their fingerprints and retina scans and DNA swabs on file just in case?
I mean, to my mind, choosing where to live is a little bit more of a fundamental right than where to work. Like, privacy is important. You know, like we're realizing it more and more every day. But that person might be taking it a little bit too far. I'm not a fan of the slippery slope.
I don't know. I think it's a good idea. I think it's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
Whatever keeps our kids safe.
It's one of those things that you would have thought would have been a rule already, like just as a right thinking human being in this world who knows like how this stuff works. And I was about to say, like, oh, would this person does this person object to teachers needing background checks? But then I thought for a second, I don't actually know that teachers need background checks. Do they?
Yes, they do.
Okay, good.
Whew. Yep, FBI background checks.
Neat.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm down with that. I don't know. Some stuff just kind of seems to make sense, and I understand that is a very, you know, wishy-washy kind of thing. Whether or not that happens, you know, like just kind of because what changes, or you know, what makes sense changes. But yeah, there was a story I had from a while back. And this is something kind of related to that. Apparently, there's a new bill, and it's one of kind of the only in the nation, at least so far, that says, oh man, let me look at where this actually was at. Yeah, this is in Wisconsin. It's a small town who's on the leading edge of this movement of requiring coroners to have like credentials. Because I'm fairly certain, but like where either of us are, Chris, we could just go around election time and just like say, hey, I want to be a coroner and campaign our asses off. And then just all of a sudden get access to a sweet ride and all the corpses we would ever want.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I just want to be around bodies, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a passion of mine.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. In fact, like all these... Oh my God.
All these bodies.
No. Holy crap.
Dude.
There's an infant circumcision trainer available on Amazon.
Like a book? Like an instructional DVD?
Like the midsection of a baby.
Oh, like a CPR doll, except for cutting off a dingus?
Exactly.
Huh.
You'd save over $2,000 if you were willing to trim the skin from your newborn son. $185.95.
Good. Does it reattach?
Oh, my God. I don't think an ice cream truck driver should own one of these.
Just up front on the dash.
Oh, Cole. Oh, my God.
So it is a Moyle training device.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does it squirm? Does it have is it animatronic? Because I think that of all the challenges of performing that particular ritual, and I'm not going to talk about circumcision, but of all the challenges to
you
that,
are, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But of all the challenges in that,
I've never seen your dingus.
Yeah, we're going to keep it that way. But of all the challenges there, the time I said of all the challenges, the movement, I think it's gotta be kind of like being a sniper. Like you can be as precise as you want, but if the person just decides to like change directions, there's nothing you can do about it. And if you miss, like the entire Red Army is going to be on you and you're going to be sent away to a gulag or worse.
Gulag. Delicious.
I don't know. What?
I said
Chris, what are your initials?
K-R-R.
Okay. It doesn't spell anything, so that means that you're not going to have any direction in life. My initials are K-A-R, which means that I like weird cars. So, yeah. You know, there's some research, some nonsensical, goofy, like stupid pointless research coming out of the University of Limerick in Ireland. They're reported to the European Journal of Social Psychology that people who list and go by their middle initials are perceived as being smarter. So Alex P. Keaton is played by Michael J. Fox, and both of them are supermen among regular men.
I don't know. I think your logic is shaky.
How? Yeah. Even better if you can throw any superfluous stuff in there. So there's David Clark, David F. Clark, or David F.P.R. Clark, or the head study author, Wijnand A.P. Van Tilburg.
What if you go by your full name, first name, middle name, last name?
Well, then you're
Does that mean you're going to kill people?
Yeah, then you're a serial killer. Once again, I know that I asked this in an earlier episode, but what did Charles Nelson Reilly do?
I don't even know who that is.
He's from the Love American Style. He was holding down the center square or one of the squares on Hollywood Squares for a little while, like a real flamboyant kind of guy. Not Paul Lynde, but different guy. You'd recognize him. He's like a character actor kind of thing. He was on the Love Boat. Yeah. No, but this continues. Another team from the University of Wisconsin School of Business concluded in 1999 that people whose initials spelled out negative words, such as die, D-I-E, or pig, P-I-G, died younger than people whose initials spelled out positive words, like V-I-P. Hi, I am Vinny Ignatius Percivald, VIP at your service. I'm the best person. I have all the advantages in life. Vinny Ignatius Percivald.
I don't know what to say, man. I saw the story.
It's all of that. I think there is... In this culture, it's predated this, but I think that it has been at the forefront of my mind ever since BuzzFeed added in a take this quiz, see which meme you are kind of thing. Like, you know, you press a couple things and it hands you an identity. It's just, you know, shrink-wrapped, value-packed, set right on your front porch, right for you to have. That way you don't actually have to work at it. This falls in with, like, name analysis. It falls in with, like, I would say even horoscopes. Kind of, like, looking for something external to you and your actions that defines, you know, that defines you, other than the other way around, which is something, your actions defining something internal to you. It is, like, a shorthand that people try and ascribe to themselves, you know, in a Myers-Briggs-type fashion, that extends out to which popular culture character am I? And it's really, I should be commended for my patience in not like doing drive-bys on people's, like when they post that shit on Facebook, and just reading them a strongly worded letter, because it's the most... It's the biggest horseshit. And what I would say is, if you're a listener, like, do these and then share them on the Those Damn Ross Kids Facebook page. That way we can all, like, we can all share in trying to, like, dissect this tumor on the internet psyche.
Hey, my rap name is Popcorn Rocket.
Popcorn. Sounds delicious.
Hey, Cole, have you ever seen Jesus in your toast or the Virgin Mary on a potato chip?
I mean, give me a Sharpie in 2 minutes.
Jay Leno on a Cheeto?
No, it was Jay Leno in a potato chip.
Gotcha. It turns out that...
Trap sprung?
It turns out that's normal. Well, study by the Canadian and Chinese researchers findings suggest that it's common for people to see non-existent features because human brains are uniquely wired to recognize faces.
Yeah.
35% of subjects spotted faces or letters when researchers told them such images were there.
See, that seems different.
Believing is seeing.
Yeah. No, the Native Americans on the East Coast, when the settlers arrived, they looked out over the sea and they didn't see the ships because they weren't part of their worldview. That is one of the dumbest stories I've ever heard. It's so dumb. But you're right. No, what seems weird about that is the scientists primed them to look for numbers. As opposed to what might actually happen, like there isn't somebody whispering in your ear every morning. I mean, unless it's Jesus himself, like, "Yo, check it out. I'll be at breakfast this morning. Holla." Holla back for some dope toast in your mouth.
What am I gonna do with you?
With me?
Holler back for dope toast in your mouth.
What?
Hey, a mouth's a mouth, bro. Got that on Craigslist today.
Huh. Why? So, you dip in there. And...
looking for people I know.
Like blackmail material?
No, just because.
You just like to keep tabs. Track their movements.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, no, the human brain is a pattern-seeking... storytelling monstrosity, right?
Oh, it's a mess.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. We take incomplete information and we fill in the gaps, not so much with things that we want, but with things that are like comfortable to the way that, you know, our shit's wired in the first place, right? So if a person is desperately seeking, you know, divine influence in their, you know, in their life, and, you know, maybe not like consciously looking like, "Oh, is the Virgin Mary going to be underneath this rock? Oh, it's just a scorpion. Ow, 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 ow. Why have you forsaken me, scorpion god?" But just kind of like, if you're looking for that, you're going to find it. It doesn't matter. You can't escape yourself. You can't run no matter what. You always carry the worst of you with you.
I think I need to kill myself.
Okay, cool.
There is no future in a world.
This episode brought to you by X-Men Days of Future Past.
Bye-bye now.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So, Chris, do you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Well, they can pat themselves on the back because our Patreon campaign is a rousing success so far. Thank you, everybody, for coming out in force. I'll remind everybody who's listening who was not aware of that if you go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, on the left there's our Amazon link, which is an awesome way to support us by just buying stuff on Amazon. And on the right there's a link to us on Patreon. It's like an ongoing Kickstarter. And if you donate, I believe it's at the $3 level, you can get the episodes a day early, which is pretty cool. So thank you, everybody, for being so kind and generous to send us some money to, you know, further enable and support this endeavor and all endeavors across the network. You rule. Additionally, you can check us out on Facebook and leave us a rating or review on iTunes. Facebook is facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. It is the only page on Facebook. There is nothing else. There is nobody else. Share with us your social graph friend people. And then in general, just kind of stick around. Oh, and we're going to be uploading the episodes to SoundCloud here pretty soon. Gets a little bit tricky. Probably only going to do episodes 100 through the current, just because of their little detection software stuff and some of our old theme songs. But that'll be a thing. So SoundCloud for sharing stuff with your friends. It is pretty cool, and people seem to like it when we put stuff up there. Did I miss anything, Chris?
You got it.
Cool. Sorry, America.
Sorry.